We're back.
Did you miss us?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live normally at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but today it's 5:30 on digitalstreamradio.com. On today's episode, we're going to dive into the topic of uncut penises.
My favorite.
Oh, I'm telling you. Is uncut dick a problem? Well, we're going to find out more on this topic with our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein. We'll have more on the topic and the great doctor on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing girlfriend, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right, so we've got a full episode because there's so much that we need to catch up on. We missed a whole episode last week.
It was beautiful. It was fantastic.
And it was actually Tom's suggestion.
Yes, it was.
He sent it out to us and I was like, Trish, this is a trap. This is a trap.
This is not real.
So, you know, it was Labor Day and I said to myself, you know what? We've been on the air for almost 3 years now. We have 183 episodes with today's episode and we have never taken a night off. And so I said to myself, you know what? It would be nice to just have a little holiday, to just relax, grill some burgers, pop some hot dogs on the grill and stuff, and just, you know.
Pork chops
and salad and all that stuff and pico de gallo and all the things that we did and plenty of alcohol and just relax.
And so, have friends over.
Exactly. And we did. And we had such a good time. That was Friday, right? No, wait.
Monday.
That was Monday.
You know, we usually record on Mondays.
That's right. Sorry. I'm two shots in and a couple of Trulies. Yeah, things are going to be very, very amazing today. But you know what? It was a really good break. We needed it. And now we're back. And we recharged and we're ready to go. Right, boys?
Sure.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to skip weekends this weekend because it was uneventful. And we're going to jump into last weekend, right? Because it was amazing. We had such an amazing time.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, you guys were making fun of me because I couldn't remember this weekend. Now you want me to go back 2 weeks?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
A lot happened. So
they ask a lot of me here. They really do.
Oh, she's nasty. She's about to get cut when we hit.
Literally, my face just went deadpan.
Yeah. So,
literally every single time he texts us, so there's something going on with my computer, and we send him a link for something, and he's like, "So, can you help me out?" And I'm like, "Just read the link." I'm like,
"We have
Google now."
I was at work, literally.
You FaceTimed me.
I did because I wanted to help. I always feel the despair when someone has challenges with technology, and so
it's not just technology.
It's life.
It's like, Tommy, remind me how to blink and breathe at the same time, please. I'm having difficulties with that one.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So anyway, let's talk about that a little bit. So Chris sent me a text message, hey, I'm having difficulties pulling up my school website so that I can, you know, log in and do some projects or whatever. And a lot of people don't realize if you're a Mac person like I am and like Chris became after we told him to buy this Mac, when you're on Safari, there's a couple of things that you need to do to make sure that your laptop works appropriately with certain, you know, websites. And so you have to grant certain permissions. And we were going through the motions. Anyway, at the end, we couldn't resolve the issue. I said to him, I said, listen, I'm still at work. I'm about to punch out. I'm about to go home. We'll handle this on Monday when we're done with the show. And so that's what we plan to do today. And but yeah, you know, anything I can do to help. I'm always willing to help. You know that.
Thanks.
Because IT won't touch personal laptops.
No, they won't.
Like Nick was like, go to IT and they'll figure it out. I walked in and some super Russian dude was like, or I don't know, like Belarusian or something. He's like, we don't touch laptops.
But you were
like,
trying to get your school email on.
Yeah. But he was like, he would only do it if it was an issue with your login ID or something like you're having issues logging in on a school CPU.
Well, but it's a liability.
That's what it was. He's like, people would come in and we'd fuck it up, or it would get fucked up, and they'd be like, you fucked it up.
So now you got to give me a new laptop. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it happens. But anyway, so we'll resolve that issue. So let's go back to Friday of last week, right before the holiday, Labor Day. What did we do Friday, boys? We got to see Melissa Etheridge. So last year, Melissa Etheridge ended up going to Tanglewood in Massachusetts. It's in Lenox, right?
Yeah.
Lenox, Mass. And
it's the home
Nick
of the Boston Pops.
That's right. And Trish is familiar with that area because you lived up there for a while.
I did.
And you have your friends that live up there, and they were amazing.
I know them.
I know them now, too. And so we ended up driving up, and we went to Tanglewood, and it's an amazing, beautiful venue. So you have the inside of the stadium, or...
They call it the shed.
The shed, where you can go and sit down and really enjoy a close-up of the performance of the performers. And in this case, it was Melissa Etheridge and Pat Benatar and her husband. And then you have the lawn where people come out. They bring fucking furniture.
Oh, people do not mess around when it comes to Tanglewood tailgating, essentially.
Literally, it's a tailgate party. So you bring out furniture and your lawn chairs and tables and cheese and crackers.
Some people have like candelabras and shit. And like,
yes. And plenty of alcohol. And you can bring all of that stuff in and just sit down,
can
set up,
pause
and just
for a
have
second?
A good time. Yes.
Because I want to slam Chris a little bit.
Why?
So I want to make a point about the whole Googling thing. So we're talking about Melissa Etheridge, and he messaged us in a group, and he was like, what time is it? And my response was, Google it, because I don't know, I was busy or whatever. And then a couple days later, I said, Chris, are you all set? Did you get your ticket? He's like, I'm all set, but you never answered me, as in what time it starts. And my response was, what? And he goes, I asked what time yesterday at 3, and I was like, are you still waiting, or did you Google it? And his response was, waiting.
Mm-hmm. Because
this is the shit we deal with.
Yeah, but you also had, but you also got your ticket. So on the ticket, it would have told you what time it started.
So my response was
I was lying. I didn't buy the ticket yet.
So my response was a gif of a child in a harness tied to a jungle gym. And Tom was like, aw, baby Chris. He's like, that's me. So what time should I show up?
Well, you know what? Fuck me for wanting to have a goddamn conversation. Everyone, you know, this happened with one of my past relationships. I would ask a question and be like, I don't know, just look it up. I'm like, no, I want to fucking talk. Like, I wanted to have a conversation.
But why don't
you
look it up together?
All Trish needed to say
was
7.
That is such a bad excuse.
I wanted to have a conversation. All you needed to say was 7 o'clock.
But first of all, I didn't know off the top of my head. So I had to Google it for you and then let you know it was at 7.
I was there.
And we made it.
We made it.
So anyway, so...
Done? Are you done?
I don't know. I'll get back to it at some point later in the conversation.
Of course he will. So we ended up reaching out to someone that we know that deals directly. They're the media relations manager for Melissa Etheridge.
I know her.
Yes. And we ended up getting backstage passes. And so we got a chance. Last year, you guys went. You got a chance to meet her. This year, all three of us were there. So we ended up getting a picture together with her. And it was amazing. I mean, she's been on our show twice. Unfortunately, due to something that she wrote. She wrote a song called Pulse, and we used it as the backdrop to one of our memorial
segments
for all of the individuals that passed away or that were murdered during that tragic event at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida. And so the connection was there. And so we were all standing in line, and we were like the friends and family at the end.
Oh, so that was the funny part.
Okay,
so,
I want you to explain that one first.
All right, so we show up, and it was a bigger group of people than the last time we went. And we all had to meet at the front gate, and there were a bunch of people with
lanyards
and these passes. And we all just had stickers, and I'm like, oh, God, did I fuck something up?
And that was my first thought. I was like, what did she do?
And so they asked us to stand in the back, the ones with the stickers, and then they told everybody up front that they gave them all instructions. They would have 2 or 3 photos. It was taken by a photographer.
One phone, group or solo. You couldn't do both.
No, that was... Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we had the privilege, yeah.
So we're like, okay, so I'm really confused. So then I walk up to the lady, I'm like, so if you're going to take photos, can I give you my email? She's like, oh, no, you're friends and family. And I'm like, friends and family? What does that mean? She's like, oh, no, you just don't worry about it. Just stand in the back. You'll be fine. And so we get up there, and they take her phone, and they're like, all right. And they, like, took so many photos of all of us in the group. Not only all three of us, but all the friends that I had with us got photos with her.
Yeah, it was the whole group, and then... then us at Gay Talk, then us all individually, then Colin and Jonah together as a couple. He's like, is anyone with this person? Well, that's my husband. Well, then get up here. That's exactly.
It was like, I was like, we're friends and family?
Yeah.
I love it.
That sticker is like on my bureau, actually.
It's actually on mine, too. Really? Upstairs, yay.
I washed mine.
Of course you did.
Of course you did. Yeah. No, but you know what? It was an absolute amazing experience. That was my first Tanglewood experience, and I can tell you one thing. It will not be my last.
No, it will not. And wait until you're there when the Boston Symphony is accompanying those who are performing. It really takes the show to a next level when you have such a skilled, talented group of musicians accompanying these fantastic musicians as well. It's such an amazing experience.
That's amazing.
So it was a wonderful time.
It was.
You guys got to meet my amazing friends. But I want to talk a little bit about the departure.
I fucking knew this was coming.
Let's talk about the departure.
Wait, hold on. First, what are the dogs' name? Dogs, I forget.
Oh my God, Teddy and Luna.
Okay, so Teddy. All right, so we all meet up.
I can tell you this is going to take probably the whole first
half.
No, it's
of the not. Show. I'm gonna do it real quick.
No, because this was amazing.
This is so hilarious.
We went to a Piggly Wiggly and shopped and everything and got like a cooler and all that
it
stuff.
It wasn't a Piggly Wiggly.
It's a Price Chopper. So
it's a Piggly Wiggly.
So we get
for
to
me.
Like Lenox or Pitts. Whatever town we're at. Lennox. Was it Lennox?
Pittsfield.
Pittsfield. Okay. So we get to Pittsfield. Tom and I drove up together. We listened to Game of Thrones ebook. It was actually decent. So we get up to the Price Chopper and we find Trish. You know, they're all sashaying at the checkout section together.
Mind you, they were looking at the same guy that was checking out that we looked at while he walked
in. He was walking in. This is very true. Very true. Spotted him first, just saying. So ownership.
I'm just saying. Yes.
That's right. Dibs. Thank you. Dibs.
Oh my God. Hold on. Okay. Time out, Chris. How many people do you have dibs on?
A lot.
So,
speaking of that,
anywho,
remind me of Jack.
Yep. Anywho, so, okay, so we're buying all the stuff because, you know, when you go to Tanglewood, you really picnic. So you don't bring just wine and we snuck in some tequila. You also bring a lot of food and stuff. You have a really good time. So Tom and I were loading up a cart with all this shit.
We had a friend, Milagros, that came with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom made a whole chicken before we got on, went to the show. So in addition to the whole bird that was purchased, I bought a loaf of... like olive oil ciabatta bread. Like a whole loaf.
He did a whole loaf.
And we're at Nick's friend's house. I already said their name drop.
I'm sitting here eating an entire chicken.
And I'm having half a tuna sandwich on wheat.
So
Colin and Jonah are looking
at
me mortified.
So I'm like, they get back to the house. They had just gotten up. I had been up for a couple of hours. And I was like, all right, I just want to freshen up. I went upstairs. Went into my bedroom and I got ready.
Threw her face on.
Uh-huh. And then I came back down and then there's Tom and Chris having their lunch sitting out back. And I'm like, Tom, is that a whole chicken?
I was like, I looked at Jonah and I looked at them both and I'm like, I'm sorry for what you're about to see, but this is about to go down. But it was breaded chicken, so there was a lot more bread than there was chicken.
It was
so I was sort of kind of like picking through it. I ate the whole thing.
Something and someone else ate a whole thing too. So Jonah comes out like, so who bought the ciabatta bread? I was like, oh, I brought it. I thought we would have, you know, the wine and cheese. Like, Teddy just ate it. And I was like, the loaf? He's like, I walked in. There was about a quarter sticking out of his mouth. The rest was already gone. That dog tore up an entire fucking loaf.
Well, he's a Great Pyrenees. They're massive dogs.
He's so big.
Yeah.
They're both beautiful, beautiful animals.
They are.
And they have a beautiful home. They were amazing guests for the little time that we were there. And I the next time I go to Tanglewood, I'm looking forward to meeting up with your friends and just doing that whole experience again.
It was actually really funny for me. So they showed up at the grocery store and then I had to run with Colin and Jonah to Colin's parents' house to pick up their tickets. And so we get there and Colin's mom's inside getting ready and I call Colin's parents' mom and dad. And so his dad was outside. I was like, hi, Dad. Gave him a big hug.
So gay.
And then literally, I guess she heard my voice because she popped her head out of the side door and was like, Nick! And then we get to Tanglewood because we were like in the car backing out. And she was like, I didn't get the hi, Mom.
She was jelly.
Jelly.
She was. I love them.
But it was an amazing time. So we ended up going there. We ended up drinking, and there's the smell of pot all over the place. It was just
legal.
So
amazing. Second you cross that border,
that's
like,
right.
It's like, and contact high.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love the smell. And no, but the concert was amazing. Melissa Etheridge was awesome.
She played for an hour and 40 minutes.
Literally. Yeah, and then Pat Benatar came out and did an hour and 15 minute set. Mm. We were there until like 10:30, and then we decided to go back home. And Chris was just a little happy at that point in time.
It's like, I want to stay.
He had a whole bottle of Milagros, just him, Jonah, and...
I had a couple shots.
And then Colin and I were having our skinny margaritas.
Uh-huh. No, it was your skinny margarita, and he kept sipping out of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then Chris wanted to stay, and I'm like, Chris, you go to school, you have work tomorrow, you need that money, get in my fucking car. So mind you,
he just started walking away.
So I was like, I'm done. I got to get out of here. I got to get back to my babies. I stopped drinking at a certain point because I knew that I had to drive back 2 hours back to Connecticut.
Not I.
No, of course he didn't. He was like, I warned you. He was like, you agreed to this, so you're going to have
because
to deal with me.
Because Melissa sang that song, You Can Sleep While I Drive. And I was like, no, I'm going to be awake. And then as we got back to the car, I was like, I'm going to take you off on that.
There was a lot more than that. Sorry, you just saw something that you shouldn't have seen. But anyway, so we ended up getting, I ended up grabbing everything. I was like, I got to go. I put both chairs on my back. I had the cooler. And then I asked him to help me carry the cooler. We were going sideways because he kept pulling me the other way. And there was like a couple of guys behind us screaming like, I'm driving, bitch. It's my car. It's my car. And I knew they were talking about the way he was walking because he was twisted. So we ended up getting in the car and I'm like, all right, I have no signal. I'm trying to get like the GPS to work.
It's brutal out there.
To get home. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a left here. I'm just going to go straight down the road and we'll figure it out when I get to somewhere where I have signal. We end up driving, and this one starts with like, I'm hungry. We bought a sandwich.
We don't have to do this whole story.
Yes, we do.
We really don't.
Yes, we do. So we get to the end of the road. He opens up the sandwich. He starts eating. He's like, I think I'm going to be sick. I need to throw up. I'm like, all right. Oh, shit. I need to pull over because if this bitch throws up in my car, we're going to have issues. More issues than Reader's Digest. And so I ended up pulling over into a church. I pulled up into a church.
Yes.
And she dry heaved. Slash threw
no,
up.
No, I didn't.
In the parking lot of a church.
I was saying, that's right. I came back. People asked me, how was the concert? I was like, it was amazing. And then I dry heaved at a church.
So finally, I figured out how to get my GPS to take me the route I wanted, which was 90 to 91 and back home instead of back roads and Route 8. And so this bitch decides she wants to like scarf down a sandwich halfway through, throws it on my floor and says, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. Jumps in my backseat, which is full of concrete. It had rebar.
Lumber.
It had all this stuff in it because I was doing a fence in my backyard. And he's just like, ow, ow, ow. That's all you hear while he's... And then all of a sudden, it's silence. The whole ride down. I had to ride down with no company. This bitch was sleeping in my back.
You told me I can sleep while you drive.
I told you could, but not in my back seat.
So let's flash back to the Berkshires. I didn't leave. I stayed with my friends. I spent the weekend with them.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Oh, no, we're not done with you.
Oh,
yet.
Fuck you.
The best part's coming.
So... I'm up in the Berkshires and we get back to the house. And usually on my first night, which this was my first night at Colin and Jonah's, we just end up sitting outside and having cocktails and talking really late in the morning because we haven't seen each other in so long. And so next thing I know, it's almost like 5 a.m., but let's go back to like, what was it, like 12, 1 o'clock?
It was like around 1 o'clock when I got home.
I'm sitting there with Colin, and we're at this point, you know, we're feeling pretty good. And I get this text message. And Chris pops up on my phone from Tom, passed out in the back seat. You looked adorable.
You did.
You did. You looked adorable.
And he doesn't snore when he's drunk. That's fucking crazy.
So we start laughing. Uh-huh. We start talking about how much fun we had. And then
the video comes.
The video comes.
Oh, Jesus.
No, literally, it was amazing, and I couldn't stop laughing. And so, Tom, please tell me about this video.
So, when I got home, Chris was passed out. And I woke
Chris
him up.
Chris was already passed out before he got home.
Yeah, pretty much. He was passed out the whole way. So I open up my back door. Now I know he's in my back seat.
No, back door, he means the trunk of the car.
The trunk
it's
of
like
the
a,
car.
It's like a fucking SUV truck kind of thing. Yeah, pretty so much. I'm not like so, in the trunk.
I knew I wasn't going to be able to pull him out of the front because he had to jump over a seat and he was in no condition to do that.
I did it once.
While you were starting, you couldn't finish that. You couldn't cross the finish line. So anyway, so I knew he had a video of me snoring on my couch one time when I fell asleep. So I was like, this is payback, bitch. So I propped my camera up right on the side of the hump where the wheel is.
She like set a fucking set for this thing.
I did. And so I'm like, all right, baby, we're here. And I'm like clapping and he gets up. He's like, what, what? And I'm like, come on, let's go. I'm literally dragging him. I grabbed him by the hoodie. And
that wasn't dragging. That was like straight up yanking.
So I'm like, you got to come out this way because you can't come out the front way because the doors are too little and blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, I literally pull him out of my back trunk. And then he gets out. He goes like, but I got to get my bag. And I'm like, go around the other way. He goes like, no, I'm going to get my bag. And he reaches. He goes, ah.
No, that's not the sound. It's not.
It was literally like watching like Gumby fall over like and try to grab something. I was like, oh my god, what is happening?
But overall it was an
experience. We're not done with the video. He's like, I just want my stir fry. I'm sober now. I just want to go home and get my stir fry.
It's like, I'm not even drunk anymore.
So let's go back to that sandwich that we bought that we were supposed to share, the one that he bit into before he started throwing up.
Dry heaving. There was no actual vomit that evacuated my body.
That you know of.
No.
I'm going to call the church.
Call the church.
So take anyway, church. So the sandwich ended up on the bottom, pitch. On the bottom of the front passenger seat. He was in the back sleeping. When we were done and I'm done pulling him out, he goes into the front. I'm like, oh, there's the sandwich that we were supposed to share. And he just grabs it. He goes like, all right, fine. So he starts eating it. And then he goes to me, he goes like, you want some? And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely not. You had like your like throw up breath on the sandwich. No, I don't want it. He ate it. And then he still wanted stir fry. And you went back home and ate your stir fry.
Hell yeah, I did. It was a perfectly good sandwich. And my stir fry
after
was.
After he stopped at the bar.
I was fine at that point. It turned out that I was just like groggy at that point. I slept it off.
He did. He slept for 2 hours.
I slept it off.
I cannot.
So that was an amazing
experience. You guys make
experience.
Me sound like a terrible human.
No, I mean like,
just a little bit.
No, you're like the most amazing human, and you put us in these situations where these stories are so hilarious that they cannot not be shared.
I did not want to see that video. The whole time on Liberty, Chris, you got to see this. I was like, nope.
I'm sure our listeners do. We'll put it on our post.
Tonight. No, we will not.
No, I'm kidding. We cannot.
We will
I was
not.
Like, girl, I got Chris, things.
Look at that face.
I got things.
She can't run for office anymore. That being said, I want to share one more
anymore.
Story.
Anymore. I gave that up when I started Gay Talk. There goes my dream of running for president. Well, you know what? If you can grab it by the pussy, you can talk about boners
at
and
this
cocks
point,
and
you're
shit.
Fine.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you, you're
fuck
fine.
It. You
yeah.
got this.
Fuck it.
You got this.
So the next day, I was with Colin and Jonah, and we decided to go to Tanglewood again.
Jealous. Awesome.
So we were going with Colin's sister's friends. Now, one of,
this is a good one.
One of his good friends, I'm not going to say her name. I'll call her Trish, for lack of a better term.
Okay. Oh,
we're
going to
call her Trish.
On one show.
I know.
Dangerous.
So I show up at the house, and everybody's packing up the cars, and everybody's sitting around having a Truly. And I'm at the car pulling something out of the car. They're having a conversation. They're all laughing. Completely miss the conversation. I just walk up and grab a Truly out of the cooler. And Trish is on the phone with somebody. And I see her look at me like she's going to murder me. And I know Trish. Like, we're friends. And I'm like, and then everybody went really quiet. I'm like, what just happened? And they were like, you took Trish's Truly. Now, Trish is a mom. And she doesn't get out as much as, you know, moms get out. And
that's murder material right
she
there.
She literally said, she was like, so I bought a 12-pack of Truly, and then I bought another one, and I'm not sharing with anybody. And I hadn't heard this, and I just took it, cracked it, and started drinking it. So that had happened, and everybody was just like quiet. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And so then finally, we get to Tanglewood, and I'm talking about the shirt that I'm wearing, and Trish was like, well, where'd you get that shirt? I was like, what do you mean, where did I get it? I went into my room, into my closet at Colin and Jonah's, and I picked out my shirt. And she was like, oh, I see you. I get you. Mm-hmm. I know what's going on here. So now we're probably halfway through the concert. We've all had a couple Trulies. And
she, her Trulies.
Yeah. She looks at me and she like literally like barely says anything. She's like, come here. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, fuck, what did I do? Like, she pulls me over to where we had a unicircle of chairs. And she pulls me over to where her chair
was.
And she was like, there's something missing. I was like, oh my God, Trish, your chair is gone. Where did it go? And she's like, I don't know. Where did it go? And she's like deadpan serious. And I'm like, I really didn't take your chair. I thought they were fucking with me. Her chair was gone. Like, gone. And everybody else's was there. So it was gone. And I'm like, okay. All right. Okay, so somebody stole the chair. It was not me. So at the end of the night, we're cleaning up, and she can't find her wallet anywhere.
Oh, my God. Are you so serious?
Yes. And so she's, like, shining the light. She's, like, with her girlfriend. She's, like, shine it over there. Shine it over there. Can you shine it over there? Fuck it. Shine it on Nick.
They treated you like a Puerto Rican.
Blame the klepto.
It was just so funny. It was so hilarious. We had such a good time. I miss those guys and those girls. Awesome.
No, it was an amazing weekend, which is why this past weekend was just nothing compared to the kind of weekend that we had. And then, of course, on Monday, we barbecued. We did all that good stuff.
And on Tuesday, I felt like cement.
What?
Like cement? I've never told you that story.
No.
Oh.
My ass made it to class.
I'm proud of you.
It was not okay.
I built a gate and laid cement and all that stuff, rebar in my back, stabbing him in the back while he was sleeping. Hmm. Ow, ow, ow. That's all I kept hearing. But anyway.
Hurting. You kept hurting.
You were hurting.
I heard that.
You were in pain. Hmm. But anyway, before we keep going, we do have, of course, one of our sponsors that loves us so much that they keep coming back to us year after year, which I don't know why. But anyway,
good publicity.
Here it goes.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Tolv, the new true wireless headphones from Studio, the company bringing you awesome headgear with amazing sound quality in a variety of styles to meet your listening needs. Get your hands on the new Tolv today. Use discount code GAYTALK15 and get 15% off your entire order. And remember, it's free shipping worldwide. Visit studio.com today to get yours. Now, back to the show.
Ooh, and I had to reach really hard. Anyway, here they are. They're tiny. They're amazing. They're great. Use them. Get them. 15% off. Free shipping worldwide. It's amazing.
Well, you can't use amazing.
It's amazing.
No, but Hartman already said that Trish wasted it on a taco or a burrito or something of those sorts.
All right, let's do this. They're huge. Anyway.
Actually, they're small. But
they're, yeah.
That was kind of contradictory of what you said prior
small.
To that.
No, they're great. Trust me when I tell you. Amazing sound. Great company. And thank you for giving us 3 years of continued support. We love you. Anyway, what else do we have? Do you want to jump into some stories before we bring Dr. G back? Because we still have another 10 minutes.
That's why
minutes.
I said we should start.
All right. So listen. Anyway.
Oh, I thought we were going on break.
No, not yet.
Oh, Jesus. We just did a half an hour.
We have about 5 minutes before we can go on break. Anyway, So why don't we do this? Can I start off with a story?
I suppose.
All right. I have a story that's coming all the way from the UK. I will warn you, I cannot say the name of this town, but I will try. Try being the key word. But anyway, so there's a gay couple who decided that they wanted to get married. And they decided to get married in this very small town. And the town in itself has about 246 people that live there. So the gay couple received a homophobic letter telling them to move their wedding far, far away. So Calum Hodge and Ashley Jenkins recently got married in Norton,
Marleward. Norton Marleward.
Marleward.
Yeah.
Okay. A small town in England. Its population, as I said, 246 people. Calum's mother, Janie, received a letter before the July 13th wedding saying that
it was the consensus of the village
that the wedding shouldn't happen in town. Anyway, Calum should be ashamed of himself, this is quote someone saying in the letter, for putting his grandparents through this, the letter said, he won't go to heaven. You need to lead him down the right path in life. The wedding should take place far, far away from the village. This is the consensus of the village. So I wanted to sort of kind of bring this up and just throw it out to you guys and say, what do we say to people like this?
Fuck them.
Fuck her. That's right. Listen, peoples of the world, homosexuality is not wrong. We are who we are. We're people. We're human. We breathe. We love. We do all of that good stuff. And so when we decide to marry the one person that we love, we're going to do it wherever the fuck we want to do it. And I don't care what you think.
This is just another example of bigots using religion, to attack the homosexual or LGBTQ plus community. Again, we've said it several times on the show. People like this are actually worse for religion. What you do is you're really creating an environment in which, really, do you think God, who is supposed to be all-encompassing and all-loving, mm-hmm. is going to attack two people that are in love and tell them that they're not going to heaven? No. What he's going to do is he's going to look at you and say, you just wrote this letter, this terrible fucking letter to two people that are trying to spend a day and share their love with their friends and family, and fucking tear them down and make them feel terrible about themselves. And you're the one that's not going to heaven if that's what you believe in. This is the type of situation that makes kids in situations and in areas like this with a population of 246 people afraid to be who they want to be because you have their fucking parents attacking a gay couple that just wanted to fucking get married in a, probably a beautiful fucking setting.
Of course. And, you know, here's the thing. So Janie, the mom, received the letter. She's the one that got it. She was like, you know, I was absolutely godsmacked and just devastated. Devastated to read this letter. She said that she kept the letter secret from her son because she didn't want to ruin his big day. And she said, quote, I didn't want to speak to anyone or acknowledge anyone in the village because I thought everyone was out to get us, she said. It is vile. It made me feel completely unwelcomed in this village, and the letter is so cruel that it made me very, very, very upset. So she contacted the police, because she didn't know what the letters, what the people who wrote this letter, what they were going to do, what their intentions were. Obviously, if you took the time to write a letter that's so hateful, there is a possibility that you could go through with something or do something to harm others or people that are coming to participate in this type of event, right? It's a wedding. So she did contact the police. Janie said that she told Caleb about the letter a week after the wedding, and he described it as evil. So, you know, in all of this, my hat off to her because she just made sure that her son had the most amazing day without having to worry about someone ruining their day.
Right.
I also think that
she kept all of that to herself.
I also think it's important to note that this one person is speaking on behalf of an entire community, and can be saying that the consensus, which means maybe his small group of people, is saying a certain thing, or maybe he's really influencing a certain group of people. But at the end of the day, it could have been that 75% of the community was completely okay with it and didn't care, but this one person had to take it upon himself to say, I'm a bigot, and I'm going to say that the consensus in this community, because I live in this community, is that you're not wanted.
Yeah, and there was no consensus from the community. This man was just a coward who hides behind a handwritten note to send out an evil message of people that he doesn't agree with, or he's just a hateful human being. That's all it is. It had nothing to do with the village, and it had nothing. And he was just simply a coward who hid behind pen and paper.
So, if I'm correct, I believe the mom lives in this area, or they used to live in this area.
They lived in that village for 29 years,
right? And so they said after this became public, so many people came to the house or stopped by us in the street to say that they had nothing to do with them. He said the amount of support we received showed it wasn't the village that felt like it as a whole. It was just a bigoted individual.
Absolutely.
So to you, shame on you. And to mom, you know, props to you. I really liked how you handled that whole situation. You know, you were right to be concerned because you just never know when, you know, something like this pops up on your door.
Yeah, that's your baby.
It's your baby and you want to make sure that they have an amazing day. I think that you handled the situation in the best way possible and you're a caring mother. And I think that regardless of how your son feels after finding out, I think that you were a mother through and through. You protected your child. You let him have his day. And then you said, this is what really happened.
Can we also talk about how adorable they are?
They are
this
adorable.
Photo is adorable, and I want to see more photos from their wedding so badly.
They're an adorable couple.
Chris, can you email them and get some more photos, please?
Yes,
okay.
Please. All right, so listen, on
wait,
that note.
I can just text one of them. Hold on.
Not surprised.
I'm kidding. It was a Lord joke.
Don't worry, Jack. It's just another Instagram message. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
I hate you so, anyway, so much.
It was a joke. I love
was
these
it
guys.
Though?
So anyway, on that note, we're going to go to break because when we come back, we do have Dr. Evan Goldstein joining us. And it's going to be hoot. We're going to be talking about uncut penises and all the good stuff and the bad stuff that comes with it.
So, and we're not going to be talking about hot dog holes.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Well, we might talk a little bit about hot dog holes.
All right. So here we go. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
Hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was the incredible Pat Riley with Time. And we're back with Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. We're going to be discussing uncut penises. Welcome back, Dr. G.
Thanks for having me. Happy end of summer. How sad is it?
It's not over yet.
It's not over until the fat lady sings.
You sang last night.
I was going to make that joke, damn it! I'm so mad.
I did.
You sang Sunday night?
Well, I run karaoke at our local bar, so yeah, I did. And so, you know, fall came.
Yeah, it came hard and fast.
That's right. Screw fall. Winter's coming. Like, she sang right past fall.
Oh, look at you. That remembering
Game of Thrones
thing
right there, right? Yeah. Not bad.
Oh my God. Winter's coming.
Dr. G, it's so good to see you.
It really is.
Your Instagram post this weekend with your boys was adorable. Like, could not get enough. It was so cute. Oh.
They're painful. Oh, my God.
Why? Because you had to go to the Lion King?
No, I went to the Lion King. That was fun. It's just, you know.
On Broadway? That's
just
amazing.
Too much. No, not on Broadway.
I'm over it then.
Yeah, the new movie that came out. But no, it's just like two of them. They're just animals. I love them. They're amazing. But they're just, you know, it's just too much. After a while, you just need a little break.
So, you know, it's
that's called being an uncle.
We need to dive into this story. But like before we do, I was talking to my coworker earlier today and she's like, look, I have two daughters and I love them both equally and they're amazing. And my first daughter, I would tell her she was doing something wrong and she would just start crying. And my second daughter, I think she's going to murder me. Like, I look in her eyes and I'm like, I think she's the devil child. Like,
well, hey, listen, the shoe fits.
I mean, literally. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about this story. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what it's about?
Yeah, sure. It's about uncut cock.
My favorite.
Oh, nice.
Is it your favorite?
It is. Uh-huh.
It is.
I love
it's
it.
Act two.
Listen, I will tell you this. I love my penises like I do my cars. Like before I got my truck, all of my cars were convertible. You hit a button, the head pops back. It's amazing. It's true.
Mine, you got to work for to get the head down.
Yeah, I know. You really have to work hard. His is manual.
So let's talk a little bit about the story. Do you want to kick it off and give us a synopsis?
Sure. So 25-year-old Asian bottom, but it could be anyone. But obviously, many in the Asian community do have uncut cocks. Mm-hmm. He wound up having a fissure that developed from sex. And the fissure healed, but it developed a small skin tag in the area, which is super common. It's just the way that the scar heals in the ass. Because we're going to the bathroom, because we're trying to have sex, the way that the scar really pulls together is with extra skin. But having that extra skin for him was an area of friction. So every time he would have sex, more specifically with his preferred uncut cock, what would happen is that the foreskin going back and forth against this portion of extra skin that he had would cause pain, irritation, tearing, and just limit him sexually. And he is someone that only likes uncut cock specifically. And so it was clearly detrimental in terms of really inhibiting him sexually.
No, this is something that caused him pain during bottoming or as a repercussion of bottoming?
A combination of both. Combination of both, that like during bottoming, and which is really common, and I go into my discussion that, you know, what's happening is that extra piece of skin is getting pulled in and pulled out with obviously intercourse. And now if someone has an uncut cock, they have much more skin as well. So their extra skin plus this extra skin really causes a lot of trauma in the area. And then the muscle spasms, it doesn't feel right, and it becomes obviously a problem.
So I wanted to dive into the story a little bit because he suspected that this was what it was from the beginning because he said in the story. So first of all, to our listeners, if you don't know Medium.com, you have to go to Medium.com, look up Dr. Evan Goldstein, and read up on all of the posts that we discuss here on the show and some that we don't because they're amazing and there's a lot of really good informative information.
And you'll learn all about my asshole.
Pretty much. So, but in this particular post, he ended up saying that he had a suspicion that his fetish for uncut penises or uncut cocks was the reason why he was getting this irritation in this area because of the skin tag. And he said to confirm it, he went and had sex with someone that was cut. And he was like, yep, no pain, no issues whatsoever. And then he was having conversations and dialogue with friends who had friends of friends who eventually ended up referring him to you,
but
the great doctor.
To piggyback on that, though, it wasn't necessarily the uncut cock causing the problem originally. It was after the fact, correct?
So that's a good point. I think that the inciting event for him clearly happened because of his uncut cock fetish when he was having intercourse. But it can happen with any cock or any toy or just from shitting in any capacity where you can get a small cut. And it's common in the hetero world. It's super common, obviously, in our world. And just the act of localized trauma or irritation can cause this to happen. So it's super, super common.
So to go back to Tom, though,
because he was really happy. He was like, oh, my God, I feel validated. I actually thought of something and it was right. And when he had that conversation with you and you said to him, you know, there is a possibility that the skin that surrounds an uncut cock could be tugging on this little tag that you have on its way in and out and causing friction and causing problems. And that could lead to the pain that you're experiencing. He was like to the moon. I mean, the way the article was written was like, he was like, I feel validated. I feel like I've been heard.
You know, because someone, you know, he has been going on with this issue for quite a while, speaking to people, his primary doctor, and everyone was kind of, you know, literally poo-pooing his hypothesis as it relates to this. And then, you know, I think the customer, the client, the patient is always right, you know, and you have to listen to them to understand truly the extent of what's going on. Now, I do think that his N of one cut cock experiment was probably either it was small or he put a lot of lube or there was some element, because I do think regardless, there is definitely friction in the area no matter what. But because of his fetish and because of the extra skin in the uncircumcised, it became much more evident quicker. Mm-hmm.
So if, like you say, there's friction in the area, no matter what you do, there will be friction. No matter what.
I just feel like that top just completely got deflated, but go for it.
but no matter what you do, there will be friction in the area.
Yes,
right. And you will, ultimately, there will be some type of impact to your anus. How then do you minimize the friction and impact to the anus so that you don't necessarily develop a skin tag, or if you have a skin tag, can have sex and not feel uncomfortable?
Lube, 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 I would guess.
I think it starts even from preparing. You know, we talk a lot about how people prepare for anal sex. As you guys know, we started a company called Future Method, which really looks at educating people on the right way to engage and prepare. And our first product that we put out there was an anal douche that really allows for kind of non-traumatic douching. And so when you look at the way that people are preparing for sex, a lot of that causes irritation, causes dryness. And then what happens is that you start to bring lubrication into it. Some people don't know the exact perfect lubricant to use, whether it's silicone, whether it's water-based. Some people have irritation from just the lubes that they're using. Most people don't use enough. When you look at a top, all the top cares about is sticking the dick right in. I mean, all these, you know, you just go squirt and stick it in, right? But it's how you're preparing for it. Do you dilate before? Do you use toys during sex? How do you minimize that friction by taking control and taking care? And that's just understanding the physiology as it relates to shitting and anal sex. And it's not very complicated. It's two things. It's skin and it's muscle. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that in order to decrease friction, how do you get the skin to fully relax? How do you get the muscle to fully relax? And then how do you have an appropriate orifice that's lubricated and ready to receive? And it's just understanding those dynamics in the right way and sequence so that now you're able to minimize friction and not have problems.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that you bring up this douche that you were working with, because I remember when you had come on the show before, we were talking about using like Fleet enemas, and you were saying that those can lead to drying you out. Those can make you more susceptible to STIs and STDs. So it's what's the difference with those then?
I think there's a combination. When you look at both water and you look at Fleet enemas, are really supposed to be used for constipation. So, you know, a couple of times in your lifetime, you're really super constipated. You're using this because it's very concentrated liquid and it causes a lot of trauma to the cells internally. And now if you think you're using it 2-3 times a week, you know, as the average bottom is about twice a week, you know, you look at how much trauma can just using the incorrect liquid be an issue. Same thing on water. People feel like, oh, water, it's the best branding in the world. People are like, it's free. It looks clean. It looks perfect. Great. Stick it in my ass. But the reality is the same thing happens. The cells become irritated and you basically wash off the lining internally. And that then creates that dryness and that element of friction. And so that, you know, all of these things play a part in it. The bigger cocks, the thicker, the longer, positioning, back to this story of uncut. So it's a matter of, you know, I say it's like a football game. You know, you got to analyze every player and every situation to make sure that you're really minimizing as much risk as possible.
So I just had a thought thinking about like cleaning out your butt and having to add lube during sex. Is there a product out there that men can use, whether it's a cock ring or just a ring that you put around the penis itself, that while you're having sex can secrete more lube?
And to piggyback on that.
I mean, if not, why have we not done this yet?
Trademark, TM.
So
I think it becomes a little bit more complicated than that. And the reality is that, yes, there are lots of different things that we're all trying to do. So I like lube shooters. A lot of people use that. Those are like those syringes that are like attached to a catheter that you basically put inside and squeeze, and it lubricates internally so that you're taking away the top's kind of usual MO of just stick it in and do the appropriate lubrication. I also like people using toys before. Let's say I'm coming over, before I come over, use toys, it pre-dilates, or bring toys into your sex play. So that if you're using toys and you're doing foreplay and you're kind of creating that, it's already really well lubricated and super relaxed before someone even enters. It just depends on the dynamic. And the reality is that sometimes you're not going to know, because it's a random, it's a grinder, it's a scruff, it's whatever it is, and which is all well and good. But if you start to kind of really create the protocol of bottoming, regardless of who's behind you, you should be able to learn how to navigate it.
Now, speaking of lube, can we settle the argument once and for all? So we have water-based lubricants, and we have, of course, silicone-based lubricants. Which one, in your learned opinion, is the best to use in an anal situation?
I think that, first of all, there's not only that. There's a hybrid lubricant that's both water and silicone. And then there's like J-Lube, which is like horse lubricant. Which is pretty amazing. And so there's certainly definitely many different facets to lube. I think it's really personally dependent. But if you're using toys, most toys you wind up using water-based,
right,
or toy-safe lubricants. I think most gay men, most bottoms, really love silicon, which I think is the best from a lubricity perspective. Though, when you look at the science behind silicon, there is some people that are questioning its use just because of it being put into kind of the bad category of ingredients. But I think when you look at really decreasing friction, yeah, I think the J-Lube and also the silicon-based lubes are probably the best. But your sheets get dirty. It takes forever to fucking wash that shit off. Yeah. You're like walking down the street and it's like dribbling out. It doesn't want to...
Put some Shazam in it.
We've all been there. Oh my God.
I love that.
So before we get into how you treated this patient, I want to talk a little bit about Uncut Dick because it's my favorite. I love it.
I love
We've
it.
Talked about it on the show. We all love it. Chris, do you love it?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay.
Yeah. Does Chris like Dick? I don't know why. I feel like I don't know if he likes Dick.
What? That's a good question. He likes your finger, but that's...
You made him a bottom.
Three finger. Times. I'm over it now. So no, I assure you, I enjoy cock. And I've had the uncut ones as well.
He needs another consultation is what he needs. He needs another visit.
But so I want to talk about uncut penis generally right now. I want to talk about the stigmas around it and why people are so afraid of uncut dick, because I love it. And then also there are additional nerve endings and how that affects an orgasm and then cleaning habits, because that's really, really important. For people that have uncut penises. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit to that.
Or those who are afraid of it. The cleanliness is something that's a stereotype, absolutely.
Take a shower before you get in bed. Go on.
I love it.
So both of my kids are not circumcised. And it was more because, you know, when you look at specifically religious or you look at societal pressures, I think realistically, if the foreskin was not supposed to be there, whoever created us would have probably have not put it there. So clearly, obviously, it potentially serves a purpose. Now, me and my Jewish religion of what I was born into did not get the choice of cut or uncut. It was purely cut it out, right?
Yep.
But I think nowadays we're seeing a huge wave of people who are leaving everything. And I think it was the bad, you know, the hygiene and the communication. It goes back to sex ed and, you know, really being a proponent of talking about all these narratives. When you look at where we were, people weren't talking about sex and or talking about foreskin and circumcision. And religion was so huge back in the day. So, I mean, I think it's now kind of taken a different pendulum. Now, you obviously need to clean it the right way. It needs to be pulled back every day. It needs to be cleaned off appropriately. It needs to be dried out appropriately. There's certain things that you need to do in order, because if you don't do those things, you start getting kind of scarring and issues where you can't retract it. It could become a surgical emergency if when you do retract it, you can't pull it back. So there's certain things that we now need to educate and make sure that everybody that is uncircumcised is educated on the right way to to take care of it and tend to it in the right capacity. And there are definitely people, you know, the nerve endings, I don't know. I go back and forth with it. Some people have a tremendous amount of nerve endings and some people that are cut are ridiculous. Like me, I can come in 2 seconds. It's like, you know, it's like, it is what it is. You know?
Interfacial. Anyway. Be professional.
Wait, so before we move on, I just want to, if people do have an uncut penis and they want to check in, make sure that they're doing everything correctly, are there resources for that? Should they just talk to their doctor? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think again, when we look at anal health, I think specifically to our community, there's three things that we should always look at, which is oral health, anal and penile, right? And I think that, you know, there should be a standard. That's why I have a urologist. His name's Dr. Lemer. He's awesome. He's in my surgical practice because I think that there's so much synergy, especially in gay men's health, where we rely on both urological and anal, and also it's the pelvic floor, right? I have a physical therapist that only deals with pelvic floor dysfunction. And it was all done on purpose, because I feel like all of these narratives are super common in our community, but also should be checked in yearly for everybody. Like, how is the cock working? Is it functioning? Are you able to do what you want with it? From a cleanliness perspective, from a wart perspective, an HPV, from an STD, all those things, I think realistically, we're oral, anal, and penile people. It just winds up being, to me, it should be standard of care. And the reality is that, unfortunately, from a primary care perspective, they just don't have the time. And really, the understanding of saying, hey, okay, this is what we're going to devote this time for, and really making sure that we're doing all the right things. How is everything functioning? You know, people feel like, oh, you know, I was speaking to somebody and they're like, you know, he didn't get hard for like 20 minutes and it took me so long to get him off. And like, does that person feel like that is normal for him? Because right. That's not normal for me, right? So it winds up being a lot of this, which I think is dispelling all of these myths, really saying, hey, I may not know everything. How do I go to somebody that can communicate and tell me where I am and make sure that everything is working the right way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I personally speaking, I can tell you that when I was a child, I was cut. But they must have done a horrible job because I still have some skin that covers.
Yes, you're right. And there are people that want their foreskin back. And there's certain things that we could do surgically to pull back and to create more foreskin in that area so that we can get you back to uncircumcised.
So it's for me, it's very weird because I have half of my skin that covers half of my head. But I was circumcised, so they didn't pull or take most of the skin.
Who wants to see it?
We didn't sign up for this.
No, I'm just...
I put 3 years of dues in, so I don't have to hear about your penis.
Anybody that's ever been with me knows. It's just like...
We haven't!
First of all, you haven't been with me sexually, and neither have you, and you won't. But anyone that has been with me sexually knows. And so for me, it's just like, they're like, okay, well, it's like covered, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, it's out. But I know that I was circumcised because I have the scars, and you can see those, and they're there, and they're evident, but it wasn't fully circumcised.
And that is common. It really depends on who does it. You know, if you have the moil do it, which is, you know, take a bite out of it versus, you know, someone else. I mean, I think that there are designer penises out these days, right? And I don't know. It just depends on which type you want, which you like. But just like you're saying, sometimes your partially cut cock can actually create more friction. And some people like that. It feels really good. It creates that nerve endings where you're able to get where you want to go. Or some people don't.
Okay, so with that being said, so Tom was pushed out and Mom was like, just take a little bit off the head. So now I want to go into an experience that I had when when I was dating someone that was uncircumcised but got his circumcision
afterwards.
At like 18,
yeah.
As an adult.
So what kind of repercussions come from that? Can there be medical issues with that? Is it going to lead to pain? Is it going to, what can happen if you have a later circumcision in your life?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is it goes back to societal pressures. You know, it's interesting because going back to Phoenix and Sebastian, I love bringing them into this whole great conversation. But Sebastian came back from school, and in the bath, I saw him take a plastic scissor and start to try and cut off his foreskin. And I said to him, hold on a second, what are you doing? He says, mine doesn't look like everybody else's. And it was so interesting. At that time, he was like 4.5, 5 years old, and he perceived that when he goes to the bathroom, you know, everybody just drops trowels and takes a piss, that his was different. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's pull Papa in here. Papa, pull down your pants and show him your cock. And it was exactly the same. And we started to kind of create that there are many different types and things like that. Now, a lot of people do not like that. They feel stigma from having an uncircumcised cock.
Mm-hmm.
It
cock creates this,
you know, yeah, it creates this. And also they feel like people don't necessarily want the uncircumcised. They have more options in the circumcised. Also, sometimes they are having problems where it doesn't function the right way, or it angles and it kind of curves, or it doesn't pull back, or it causes pain, where then they go into and they then get circumcision. Now, an adult or later timed circumcision fucking hurts, bro.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
I had a friend of mine that did it, and let me tell you, he said he was in pain for like at least 8 weeks.
Oh,
like,
God.
It was
like,
very uncomfortable.
Purple. You start crying. You're like, is it ever going to look the same again?
If you get an accidental boner, it's the end of life.
Terrible.
Yes.
Especially at 18.
That's real.
Like, that's like, real. Still the at the peak of accidental boners or unwanted boners. Like, that does not sound like a fun thing
like,
to go through.
Just imagine having a wet dream and you wake up and you're in agonizing pain because you had a dream and you just shot all over yourself and you injured yourself.
No, I'm in agonizing pain because I know what your dick kind of looks like now.
Oh my God.
Why do you assume that his dick is going to be ugly looking because he's got extra skin?
My dick is gorgeous and it says peekaboo all the time. Bitch. Anyway.
He's got the best of both worlds. What are you talking about?
All right. Dr.
Thank
Z said
you.
It.
He's like half and half. Anyway.
Like half and half.
I'm like half and half. You pour so it in your coffee, it makes it that
on.
Much better.
Everybody wins.
For our listeners, is it the bottom half, the top half, the left side, or the right side?
What?
That was very straightforward.
No, let's go back because I completely just lost.
What half is left?
Oh, he's kind of doing
top or bottom.
It's all around. It's literally, it's uniform. So all you see is like a little peekaboo.
Did they
so the doctor was just lazy and was like, snip.
Using a weed whacker to take the foreskin off?
I don't know
off?
What they did.
No, I'm pretty sure they used a scalpel on mine.
I don't know. It must have been, what's that God. Brand that everybody buys?
So it's like a clown, you know, the fucking, what's the thing that
Yes, it's like, imagine Elizabeth with that little wrap around her neck, Queen Elizabeth. That's exactly what it is.
Oh my God.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh my God. So, uncut cock is great, even though we are making fun of the fuck out
of it.
No,
we're not making fun of it.
We're not making
fun
of it.
We're just stating on both sides.
So, but here's the thing. I have three siblings. I'm the only one that had an attempt at cutting. Because both of my older and my youngest are both uncut. Don't ask me how I know that. I just do.
Oh.
But I think a couple of things. One is, I think the uncut cock looks so pretty.
Agreed.
It's got a wrapper.
I'm like, I get a dick pic from somebody with an uncut cock and it's hard. I'm like, send it soft, please.
It's unbelievable, right? And then I think like also when you're sucking dick, it's like it pulls back nicely. It just gives a lot more juice and liquid, and it just makes it, I don't know, I find it just that much more appetizing, don't you?
It's pretty. It's amazing. So let's get back to the story. So very quickly.
Jesus, I'm getting hard. Because
my mouth...
You heard that here on Gay Talk, by the way.
Because my mouth is Gay watering. Talk. Let's go back to the story. So obviously, this young man, this 25-year-old...
Wait, I don't want to go back to the story. So he's getting hard.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Let's start...
I was like, Tom,
I'm sorry, I'm
stop
kidding.
Talking, Tom.
Tom, you're ruining this moment for us.
So,
sorry.
We had to hear about your dick. I want
to
hear about
it. So back to anal fissures.
So this young man, he's 25 years old. He's Asian. And not only that, he also says that I also like Asians. So he was sort of kind of like poking fun at himself in the story. But he goes, so now he has this tag and he comes to you and he gets it taken care of. How long was his recovery and how is he functioning now?
Yeah, so I mean, it was actually pretty straightforward because realistically, his fissure, which was the inciting event, healed itself already. So it was basically just an external piece of skin that was in the area. Now, when I'm evaluating, I want to make sure that the actual cut, the inciting issue, is all healed. Because if you don't, a lot of people will see dermatologists and they'll just remove the extra skin. But if you have a cut associated with it and you don't take care of the cut at that time, you're going to have a higher chance of it coming back and still being a major issue. So if someone comes to me with extra skin in the area, I want to make sure and really see that everything is actually healed in a good capacity and it is truly isolated, that extra skin. So I lifted the skin up. I obviously gave some numbing medicine, removed that extra skin, and then he saw me in the office about 3 weeks later. I put some chemical in that area to scar it. You can't stitch that closed. I find, especially in that area, if you stitch it closed, what happens is it causes the stitches to open up. It doesn't heal the right way. You actually want to leave it open and let it kind of scar in by itself. And it does that really well over 2 to 3 weeks, especially when we do some stuff with some chemicals in the office.
So can you expect a lot of bleeding during that time when you're...
No, not really. No, the ass is it's pretty resilient. You know, it really can take a punch it. No pun intended.
Yeah, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to stitch something up, because if you can imagine any other stitching that you've ever had because of a cut or whatever, after a while, they start itching. Can you imagine your ass itching from stitches and you walking around trying to scratch that shit and people looking at you like you're crazy?
But isn't the itching's a good sign? Isn't that when your body's healing itself?
The itching is a good healing perspective, right. Yes. But with that, human bio. It is literally a pain in the ass. And, you know, I have to deal with a lot of it just because I get emails and what creams and what to do and how do I stop the scratching and blah, 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 blah. But leaving it open is also a good scarring perspective, because if you stitch something closed, you're actually closing the diameter of the skin. So what winds up happening is when you leave it open, how it scars in, it actually adds diameter. Mm. So a lot of people that have these cuts and fissures, or their skin is so tight that they can't fully relax, doing some of these allows for better skin growth that then allows for everybody to achieve what they want sexually. Mm-hmm. So that's where from a cutting issue, you want to make sure, is the muscle an issue? Is the skin an issue? You know, a lot of people have those, a lot of folds where you see their anal folds are there. And then when they fully open, right? But that fold, those folds are really important because it gives you that much more room to accommodate. But there are plenty of people that don't have enough folds. And then what happens is when they try to accommodate, boom, it tears and then it causes issues. So there's a lot behind this. It's just an element of, with him, all I needed to do was remove that tag, get it to heal the right way, and now he's friction free.
And he's back to loving uncut penises and enjoying them and all the glories. There was a little line in this story that I made me giggle a little bit, because he goes, let's see. Luckily, my skin tag was removed. My skin tag removal was simple. It was a simple snip in the office, more because the tear had healed correctly. And before I knew it, I was back at it. No skin tags remaining, and a smooth orifice for all comers. Well, shouldn't have said all uncut comers. Fuck yeah, I fucking love it. And that made me giggle. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the assumptions that people can make out of a statement like that. So we know that he enjoys unprotected sex, and there's certain feelings that come with having unprotected sex and also being uncut. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I think that it is such a minority of people using condoms this day and age. Mm-hmm. The data suggests about 70-80% are not using condoms. And I think that the reality is that there's a reason. Condoms are fucking annoying. And, and they cause decreased sensations for everybody, all parties involved, right? There is STD prevention from it, and there's positivity from it, for sure. But I think you have to look at how communities practice. And the reality is that it feels much better, and you're actually able to feel cock and like what we want from the throbbing and all of the extras that come with it. So I think that, you have to pick and choose your battles as to where and how you want to engage and who you want to engage with. And I think nowadays, having prophylactic treatments with PrEP and having an availability of preventative doxycycline and Valtrexin, analyzing your own risk, I think that you're able to mitigate as much as you can, but also enjoy the way that you want. And that, I think, is the empowerment of what we're trying to achieve. And not to be critical, not to create stigma or to judge, but to say, look at this, there's reasons why we're doing X, Y, and Z, and how do we support that?
I think it's important to note what you're saying, but in a different way, because the way you talk about you not using condoms is from a very educated perspective. And I think that our listeners need to know, if you choose not to use condoms, you need to educate yourself on all of your risks that you're taking, right, and all of the options that you have. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. I agree. I mean, I think that, you know, the reality is that unfortunately we're trying to change sex education through Bespoke, through Future Method, through our collaborations, through you guys. All of that is trying to give people the resources that we never had, right? We look at porn, and that's what we learn from. We ask somebody to show us the right way, and they have no fucking idea what is the right way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's trying to now look at culture in a different way. Yes, should we all be using condoms? Yes. Should we be protecting ourselves in other capacities? Yes. But I think the first step, like you said, is how do we actually educate ourselves to understand all of these different facets? And then once we get educated, make the appropriate decisions that are best warranted for our own sexual care. And that is up to you. Yeah. And again, we at Bespoke, and I support anybody, man. You know, if you see what I see and what people do, holy shit. I mean, it's unfucking believable. But but it's awesome. And I'm so proud of them. Like, keep doing it. But how do I educate them with just a little bit of pearls every once in a while to now allow them to really, really look at themselves, but also from a community perspective? Because one person's fucking one person, the other is another, and it just winds up going around our entire world.
Yeah, it is important to talk about that education because, yeah, if you're on PrEP and you're having unprotected sex, obviously it's going to help prevent the transmission of HIV, but you're still able to contract chlamydia, gonorrhea. I mean, it's not going to save you from fisting or anything like that. So it is important to talk about that kind of stuff because I really feel like, yes, condoms have an effect on the sensation, but it's something that I think about constantly. It's something I fear, like, I don't, if you're having a grinder hookup or something like that, there are so many risks that you are taking by engaging in unprotected sex.
Yeah, I 100%. But, you know, you got to look at where the community is and what people are actually doing. And, you know, I mean, look, if take STDs off the table, if you did a study, how many people would choose not to use a condom?
100%. Because from a
sensation, 100%, everybody would say, fuck, get the condom off, right?
Yeah, right. One of the things that, you know, I appreciate in having a conversation with you and learning from some of the things that you have done in your practice and what you do every day is that when you approach your patients, you don't approach your patients from a place of judgment, right? In my experiences in the past, going to doctors and saying, hey, you know, I am this. This is what I'm doing. He goes like, well, you know, you're very, very prone to getting HIV. I think you should really, really wear protection. You give your people a complete and like very well-rounded version of here's what could happen, but here's what you're doing and here's what you enjoy. Just know that, you know, if you enjoy this, you can do it. But there are inherent risks, and here's all the information on the possibility of those risks and how you can help yourself and mitigate not being able to get certain things. And I appreciate the fact that you come at it from a place of non-judgment, but more so from a place of education and knowledge and experience. And I think that's very important for people to have in their relationship with their doctors.
Can I also just say that I think if I were to ever have my asshole looked at by you, I would bring a selfie stick and I put my camera up so I could see your face when you get down there, because she says she's like not judging people, but I know she'd get down there and be like, what the fuck? But she wouldn't say it out loud.
You heard her through the door when she was inside me.
Oh my God, have you ever had anything up there?
No, be like, just you, doctor.
But I think that, you know, we need more doctors in our communities that do what you do, because I think that only then we will, first of all, alleviate the shaming that comes with being HIV positive or having an STI.
Or being gay,
period.
I think correct me if I'm wrong, there are a decent amount of doctors out there that have knowledge and can perform the way you perform.
Giggity.
but they're not necessarily putting themselves out there like you, correct?
Right. I think that that's the difference. And I was just going to say, you know, it's like I've been in situations just like everybody that comes into my office. And you, sometimes you take advantage of the situation, and then at the end you're like, Jesus Christ, what did I do, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that we're not all living in a bubble to think that all these other people aren't engaging the same way that we are all engaging. I think it's, I'm just able to talk about it and to say, hey, look, I've been in those situations, and sometimes you choose the right path, and sometimes you fucking don't, you know? And then the reality is that it's okay. It's part of life, and you learn how to navigate that in the right way and try and figure out how do you make better choices. But to know that if you make the wrong choice, that you have a support system and a team of people available to help. I mean, I think that I just wish that I would have had that growing up to be like, Evan, it's totally cool to suck dick, and here you go. This is exactly how you do it. This is what you do. You know, it just, it's, and so that's where I think that I'm coming at it now, looking at it to say, how do we just make this world a better place for our community? Because at the end of the day, if we're not going to do it, unfortunately, nobody else in society is going to do it.
Agreed.
So true.
Agreed.
So can I just ask one more question before we, oh, sorry.
And I love Uncut Duck.
Yes! So one more quick question before we wrap this up. Will you send us
a dick pic?
The future method?
That's not professional,
douche.
Nick.
Hold on. Will you do that, though? The future method douche so that we can review it on our show.
I'm yes, like, 100%. Hello, why are we asking him for a pic? Nobody can see him.
Guys,
we see
guys,
him.
Focus.
He can do it right now.
Shut up.
No, I'm kidding.
Dr. G, will you send us the future method douche so we can review it on our show?
Yes, I think that would be a great thing. And I think that, you know, maybe we can even do it where, like, you're using it while we are in the show.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know about that.
We'll show you what a towel.
I don't know. I was like, I'm going first. I'm not being sloppy thirds. Like,
I think it would be great. I think that, you know, just because I want to talk to people about that specifically so people are educated to understand why STD risk is higher, you know, not using the appropriate anal douche. A lot of people use shower hoses. That really causes a lot of issues. And so I think it's dispelling some of the myths that are out there. I think that that's probably a really good way to create another show from us.
Yeah, so
it really is.
Let's talk about that next month.
Especially because these two, Trish gave mine away as a gift. These two use mm-hmm. tushies, the bidets. So I think that I was thinking about that. That would lead to a good conversation to talk about the proper douching.
Yeah.
But you don't. You wouldn't use your Hello Tushy to douche. You use that to clean the outside of your a-hole.
Oh, I don't know. I back up on that a little bit.
I do too. I do too. Yes. And you're able to fucking fully open, aren't you?
Well, listen, I've been able to.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Like, my Kegels are on point, and I'd be able to actually squirt water out of there, like, really hard, too. It's like, yes.
The most important part of the story was Trish gave mine away.
Okay, we're going to get over that moment.
No, we're not.
There was a reason behind that. Anyway.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, my
all right,
God.
Well,
this
listen.
This is a pretty good one. This was fun.
Listen, it's always fun when you come on. When you come on board, literally, like, pun intended.
You got hard. We talked about
it.
Cut,
yeah.
I think I'm going to, now every time I look at you, I'm going to think of Queen Elizabeth.
Well, on that note,
you
Your Majesty.
You should take that as a compliment.
Majesty. All right, so, off with his head. Anyway, Dr. G, it's always
fun.
Here we go, Jack.
Off with the
I'll
head
never
skin.
Let go. Off with the head skin.
Okay. That wasn't bad. That
no,
wasn't bad.
Let's keep the head skin on.
Okay,
okay.
Right. I forgot. I'm still learning.
Dr. G.
I can't keep going like this. I can't.
So listen, it is always amazing to have you on the show because you make us laugh. You make us, you know, go through all of the emotions and give us such amazing information. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for engaging your community, which is really important. And thank you for always giving us such an amazing episode loaded with so much amazing information and crazy information all in one. And for being who you are and doing what you do, you're amazing.
Thank you. Check me out, Instagram, Facebook. We do a lot on Medium. Tomorrow is going to be a nice tale, which you guys can check out. And then check out Future Method and all the stuff that we're doing on education.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
We'll do.
And we will definitely do that. We're going to have all of the information for Dr. G, his social media links, and of course a link to his website at Bespoke Surgical. He functions out of LA and New York, and of course the Medium blog, which is a trove of information, which I definitely think you guys should check out. And once again, Dr. G, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Hi, Dr. G.
All right, well, ladies and gents, that is, of course, the amazing Dr. G. He always joins us once a month to talk about very important health topic issues that have to do with the LGBT community, specifically with bottoms. And, of course, at some point in time, tops too. But, you know, there's so much. There's so much that he gives us that is really, really critical and amazing for our community.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So listen, boys, it's been a long show.
It's
been a long ride. We had stories, but I think we need to wrap up. So we're going to jump to our girl, Trish, over here, who's typing something. Mm-hmm.
Because I told her to.
I told you so. Oh, I forgot to do something, didn't I?
Yeah. So what's going to happen is you're going to thank our guest, and I'm going to take over the next week. Okay.
All right. So here we go. So we're going to be talking about our gay talk term for this week.
We are. So this week's...
Wait, you skipped something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yes. Gay talk term is second.
Mama Kim's minute.
Is first.
Oh, come on, kids.
We had a
Are
week
you both
off.
Interns
we had
now?
A week off.
And I'm the one who's on fucking
Look,
Q.
First of all, that's because you're like, somebody better do this because I can't do it. And I'm like, I'm trying to do it. And then you're like, what are we doing next?
And then I had to pull out of the back of my car.
Because y'all need to let me know what's going on. Or we sound like it's always sunny in Philadelphia right
now. Oh, my God.
All right. Pull back.
All right, everybody.
Pull it back.
So, Chris, can I get a timer, please? Can I get a timer?
This is Mama Kim's Minute, Trish.
Yes.
And go.
All right, everybody. Here we are with Mama Kim's Minute. So, number one, this video of male lions mating has gone viral, reminding us that being gay is natural. Number two, straight high schoolers with MAGA flags disrupt LGBTQ plus club's first meeting.
Can we get a fucker?
Fucker! Three, anti-gay hate group claims protecting LGBT plus Americans would enable the next Harvey Weinstein.
Can we fuck her?
Four, Sam Smith hits the red carpet and heels for the first time.
Looked fabulous.
And five, yes, gay animals. Book about gay penguins raising a chick could make children gay, says a parent.
You made it sound like that was good news.
But fuck her.
But it is still gay animals.
It is still gay animals.
Yeah. So that's your Mama Kim's Minute.
Nailed it.
Time.
Nailed it. 44 seconds.
Proud of you, girl.
She's getting good.
I'm keeping it at like five right now because I'm like, I'm not ready for the six.
Do you see what a week off does?
I mean, I'm on point still.
Bitch.
All right. I have to
pull you out of a trunk.
So this week's Gay Talk term brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com. I'm always waiting for you guys to change it without telling me.
Is unsliced.
It's going to happen.
Oh, well, look at that. It's perfect.
I know, which means get it? Uncircumcised. Related terms. Skinning. Sucking an uncircumcised cock.
Skinning does not sound good.
I know, it's not, but
you're
it was in the book.
The queen.
Here's my favorite part, though, everybody. So your synonyms for this unsliced term is Canadian.
Yay!
cure the blind. Draw back the drapes, make the blind see, ride a blind piece, wear a turtleneck sweater, and last but not least, Canadian
bacon. Don't you know?
Which he had plenty of when he went up to Canada.
Yeah, you forgot the name of the country for a second.
Canada.
Yeah, you nailed it. You stumbled a little bit.
And
alrighty, on this
and
day.
Wait. And it was Asian. But anyway, go.
This day in... All right, we're going to move on. On this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by GayRealEstate.com. Oh, what a fabulous year. September 9th of the glorious year, 1992.
Was it glorious?
What happened in 1992?
Salt and Pepper came out.
This guy came out.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
On my mother. Not like, yeah, that came
later. He had a leash even while he was in the womb.
I came out with a leash.
The umbilical cord.
Yeah, I also
choke her.
Anywho, here in the United States of America, the greatest country in America, the first public action by the Lesbian Avengers. The Lesbian Avengers, a direct action group committed to visibility and survival, chooses to target right-wing attempts to suppress a multicultural curriculum called Children of the Rainbow. The group gathers in Queens with an all-lesbian marching band parading through the streets to a local elementary school where members hand out lavender balloons and flyers.
That's awesome.
So yay for the lesbian standing up. Yeah.
That's awesome. Nick, what are you doing over there?
I'm preparing for my next piece, so why don't you give us the announcements?
All right. So, being that we're doing this, all right, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a good first, like, 5/6 of the show.
I'm going to cut her. Anyway, if you love the show, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device as soon as the episodes are published. It's amazing. It's awesome. You can also support us on Patreon, which would give you access to, look, this, an amazing video stream live of the show in color and all that good stuff controlled by me. And I'm looking over here and doing all that crazy stuff. But anyway, all you have to do is just go to patreon.com, click support. You can support us in any denomination of a dollar or more. We collect those monthly and we can use that to produce the show and bring you such great, amazing content. Christopher?
Nicholas.
So next week we are welcoming Akiva Hirsch. Akiva Hirsch wrote a book called Boy in the Hole, which blends themes around LGBT issues and sexuality and physical abuse within the LGBTQ community. It is a gripping story about a boy and his battle to discover his true self. We are super excited to welcome him next week, and we will have more next week on Akiva Hirsch.
That's amazing. That's good. Christopher.
So we want to say on behalf of Gay Talk, thank you to our guest, Dr. G. We love when you come on, and we love our monthly installment of Tales from the Tale. It was a fruitful and silly conversation, and we learned a lot about your love of uncut dicks. And
you learned a lot about our love of it.
Yeah, a little bit of Queen Elizabeth over here. And
I'm going to knight you at some point.
Well, we know it moved, so we look forward to the dick pic, and we look forward to having you on next month. So, yes, thank you.
Chris, shall we?
Oh, it's me. Oh, yeah. God. Going against everything we just kind of talked about.
Can we cover it with a skin?
No, we're going to put a rubber on it. Okay. It's okay, all right? As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, all you need to do is go to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of the web browser where you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a voice message with your questions. We can answer those for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK, and if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, except today, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.